World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It is time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with the Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good day after, what was that yesterday, Valentine's Day? Michelle, 14,328. That's what it is, 14,328 days of being with you. Love you more every day. We got two of our grandbabies upstairs. We babysat last night, a little, I'm not real good with their ages, a little three-year-old and a little one 14-month-old, I think, stayed all night with us last night. Always enjoyed them. Man, children are a heritage of the Lord. Boy, fruit of the womb is his reward. Love our grandbabies. Hope we have more of them. And I feel for those of you out there who are old enough to be grandbabies and aren't having it. Well, that's a whole show that I'm going to do here at some point. Why won't, what has happened to us that our kids won't have kids? Michelle and I have a 35-year-old son, and he has girlfriends. And so I think I told you this. Maybe I didn't. I said to Michelle when I turned 65, I said, gee, 15 years, I'm going to be 80. And I have much time left. And she said, yeah, in 15 years, your son's going to be 50. I don't know which one of those things staggered me the most. Time is so short. And to be able to go back in those years and those years when you're 30 to 40. And boy, the productive nature of those years and to have blown those things. And I've got all kinds of friends who are my age and older who don't have any grandchildren. What the heck? What is wrong with us? We'll talk about some of that stuff yesterday. I kicked a hornet's nest. Sarge, I'm going to come to you here in just a second. Kicked a hornet's nest yesterday. Glad that I did. I'm going to talk to you more about that today. Our need for more of us to kick up some hornet's nests. And I saw once again why you're not allowed to say anything about a black man. You say anything about black men, you're racist. They say whatever they want to about white guys. Listen, I'm immune to racism. I'm immune. Here's the trouble with it. You can't, when somebody calls you a racist, you can't defend yourself. You have no way of defending yourself. What, I have a black friend? I once dated a black girl? My mechanic's black? I mean, what do you say? What do you say? And especially we better understand that whenever you speak the truth, the truth is going to come against some powerful, powerful opposition. And I don't back down from anything I said yesterday, even though Kyle Manta, whatever his name is there, Right Wing Watch, we were the lead story at Right Wing Watch yesterday because I was talking about black Christianity. Now, today I wrote a commentary. Most of you got it. Jared can put it up in the somewhere on a link here. I'm tired of hyphenated Christianity. I'm tired of it. Tired of black Christians, tired of Judeo-Christians, tired of Presbyterian Christians and Methodist Christians. I'm tired of, what's that word they use? Messianic Christians. I'm tired of, Presbyterian Christians and Catholic Christians and Baptist Christians and Free Will Baptist Christians and First Assembly of God. I'm tired of the hyphenated Christian. And I wrote a commentary today about that saying, listen, if you're identifying yourself according to your denomination, I don't even know if you're saved. I'll say that again. Maybe this will make Left Wing Watch. If you identify, if your faith is identified by the denomination that you attend, I don't even know if you're saved. Somebody asked me, what denomination are you, Coach? I said, well, classic answer, non-denominational. What does that mean? What does it even mean, non-denominational? I'm a Christian. I'm not a white one. I'm not a German one. I'm a Christian. And because of the divide and conquer tactics that we see before us, I'm going to jump into some of that. And no, I'm not going to talk about the killing down in down in, where was it? Down in Florida. I'm not going to get into whether it's false flag. Not even going to get into that stuff, because it takes our eye off of the ball. My opinion on it is I can't believe there aren't more of them. And I posted a meme yesterday on my, the Lord just gives me unbelievable truisms. And I posted a meme on my Facebook page yesterday that said, ask this question. Which is more dangerous? Which is more dangerous in America, the womb or a public school? That's deep, man. Because, see, the public school, even though we don't get it, destroys the soul of your children. This destroys the soul. And Jesus said, don't fear him who can heal the body. Fear him who has the ability to destroy the soul and cast it into hell. Jesus said that. I didn't make that up. And our public schools are indoctrination centers for atheism and humanism. And literally millions and millions and millions of children have had their faith destroyed in public schools. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Huh? I don't care whether you agree with me. It's the truth. And there ain't no such thing as a good public school. Okay. They're godless. I don't get camped on that. Let me push clutch in here a minute. We'll push clutch in. Sarge, come on in here, man. Let's do a little update here on everything we got going on. We have a lot going on. In fact, I want to add one yesterday. I'll have to talk to you later about this. I'm going to be part of an event in St. Louis. No, Jefferson City. Jefferson City on April 26th, I think that is, Sarge. You're having some type of pro-life rally. I'm sick of pro-life rallies. Sick of them. That's what the power of the gospel has devolved into. Rallies for life. Really? Rallies for life. Does the other side have rallies for death, or do they just make it a law? When's the last rally for death that you've seen? But yet there's death everywhere. Our entire culture is focused on death. 17 kids, however many, would get killed down in Florida yesterday.
Well, Coach, technically you have one every Halloween. That's a rally for death.
Yeah. Good point, man. Good point. Good point, Chad. You get what? I get it. Let me shut up a second. Got some good stuff today. Come on in here, Sarge. And fill everybody in on what we got going on.
Jared will put up the calendar. And we've got a pile of things happening in the next 120 days. First one being coming up in Wisconsin. Texas. Chad's going to have a group, Texas Salt Light Brigade, and the guys around regional guys, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Arkansas, joining in down there. So if you're in that local area, just check the calendar. Chad's contact info is there. He always puts on a great show, and I know they eat good, so it's a good weekend.
Great, man. Great fellowship there. Yep. And I want to say this publicly. Chad is really developing into a good teacher. I was amazed when I went down there a couple months ago to one of them, and his ability to crack open the scriptures and teach, really, really, Chad's really growing. So get down there and grow with him. Good, Sarge.
And then on March 9th, Coach will be up supporting Rob Pugh's Christian Expo in Wisconsin. And for those in the tri-state area around Wisconsin, that's usually a good weekend. Lots of extra people hanging around that expo. So you get a chance to meet a lot of folks and see some real remnant work going on there. So that's on the weekend of the 9th. And then 22nd is Hear the Watchman in Dallas. Coach will be on the platform speaking for that one. And this is going to be an interesting Hear the Watchman just because of what's going on in the world right now. I haven't watched it. I didn't spend the $10 to watch L.A. Marzulli's press release, but evidently they had the DNA results of the Bells from Peru, so I'm sure he'll be filling in on what's going on with that. Russ Dizdar has been actually a little quiet, even though he's still doing his shows. We haven't heard much, but I think he's must be really up into his eyes and elbows with spiritual warfare right now, especially being where he lives in the Ohio, Pennsylvania areas. There is a lot of darkness in those two states.
Amen, boy.
And,
amen.
Coach, you probably don't even know, but you need to start boning up on Pikeville, Ohio. There's some
Piketon.
Yeah, there's some real darkness there dealing with this Uranium One stuff.
Well, George, if you've been following George Webb, which most people haven't been, George Webb says, see, we had a whole family murdered down here about a year ago, Sarge, in regards to down in that Piketon area. Piketon's out in the middle of nowhere. But they have a uranium enrichment plant.
Right.
In Piketon. And George Webb has connected the dots and said those people were murdered because they were runners of uranium. Unbelievable,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. And there's, connections all the way back to Obama and Clinton Foundation.
Yep. So amen. Yep. Yep.
Stay tuned on that one. And then in April, for some reason, oh, there it is, April 20th. This is our Occupy Till I Come conference in Canton, Ohio. This is Coach hosting, the Past Assault Ministries is hosting. We've got lots of great speakers coming for that one. Still plenty of tickets available. But go ahead and check that out on the webpage. This, again, will be a great follow-up from the Hear the Watchmen, and hopefully we'll draw some of the central states, those folks who cannot make it down to Dallas. We've got some of the same folks, L.A. Marzulli, Russ Dizdar, Bill Federer. Mark Trump's going to fill us in on AI, and, of course, the Hagmans, and Joe Robertson will be there for the weekend, Dr. Mike Spaulding. I mean, this is just Pastor Paul Spegley. I mean, this is the A-team, guys.
It is.
Information. These are the folks who are doing the great research and sharing it with us and trying to keep us on par to be awakened to help others. So this is where you get this stuff. Okay. We want to get back to – okay, so here we are.
Listen, Sarge, real quick. My wife just texted me. That's going to be in Jeff City on April, that event out there. Those of you who live out in that area, maybe you can be prepared to come and stand with us and help us out. It's April 12th. In Jefferson City, April 12th.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get that added to the calendar. May 5th, David Arthur, who's probably listening in this morning, is working real hard, diligently, to put together a night and morning opportunity, May 5th and 6th here in central part of the state of Maine, Bangor. So for all our New England folks, if you want to mosey on up to Bangor, there's a hotel available. We're going to have some music and, Scott Lively, which I cannot believe, David, you got Scott Lively. This is awesome, man.
And, hey, Sarge, I hate to stick in there. He and I go way back. He's a good buddy of mine, Scott Lively, man. He's a great dude. You know, he wrote the book, The Pink Swastika. I think I've told you guys. And, you know, he has been charged internationally with hate crimes for speaking out against the homo movement. And of course, he's running for governor again in Massachusetts. And, it's a great book. Scott's a great guy. And David did make a great hook there, getting Scott Lively to come.
Yeah. Awesome. So that'll be a real charged, night and morning opportunity to connect with us, Salt and Light Brigade members up here in great state of Maine.
So we're on the move, folks. We are on the move, and we would love to come to a place. Oh, Sarge, go on, talk about the national gathering, or I'll talk about that real quick.
Yep.
Listen, you get here to Ohio June 15th through 17th. You start setting $20 aside a week, whatever it is. We're going to get you here. It's not going to be expensive. I'm going to try to find a place. Maybe we can do like a camping type surrounding where you can sleep on a sleeping bag or something like that. And it's going to be a gathering of all of us. We're all going to get together here. We're going to get to know each other and eat some food together and go do some ministry together. And there's not going to be a whole lot more than that, not a great big teaching conference, although some of that will take place. But if you're a man out there and you're starting to grow a little bit of hair on your chest, we want you to come, because I found this out again when we were down in Missouri this week with Kevin Van Story, the event that he organized down there. I told them I know hundreds. I literally know hundreds of guys. You look around, you know six. Sarge, you only know the six guys you're dealing with. And George, you only know the six that you're dealing with. And Chad, you know the 20 or so that you're dealing with. I got hundreds. There are hundreds of them out there. And I'm trying to get everybody in town here at the same time so we can look around and see that there's far more of us than what we realize. So, if you can, guys, put that on your calendar, make a little vacation, come out this way, say, Coach, can we bring our wives? I gotta funnel all this stuff too. If you bring your wife, you have to get your own hotel. But yeah, this is a guy event, but like, you know, a woman can come, women could come. Michelle can take the women. They can go down Buckeye Lake and lay on the beach. There's all kinds of stuff that they can do there. But we'd love to have you come and be part of it. Because like I realized this weekend or last weekend when I was in Missouri, I'm looking for leaders right now. I'm looking for leaders. And I believe, remember I told you $1 million gift and a 10-cent plan? I believe God's putting together a plan for us. And I think this is going to be a big part of this national event. Anything? Anybody else out there? Sarge, great job of doing that. And that's only halfway through the year. June's not that far away. We got a whole bunch of good warm weather to do stuff, so we're excited to make that happen. Anybody, jump in. Now, can I tell you this? Your pastor isn't going to support it. Your pastor's going to tell you, stay away from me. Because I just know.
Amen.
The average Christian, hey guys, this show yesterday was freaking hot, and it was hot with truth. Now not everybody can swallow it. We've been so programmed, and see, I understand the risk that I run. Now I'll be labeled a racist all across America.
I don't see how it's possible.
Well, you can't defend yourself from that. So because I can't defend myself from that, I'm going to not speak the truth. Is that what it is? I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this really, really clearly. Any Christian who voted for Barack Obama isn't a Christian. They're not a Christian. Any Christian, I don't care the color of your skin, if you support a man who's going to, the most pro-abortion president in American history, and a man who lit up the White House when they destroyed marriage, and you as a Christian don't have the discernment to see that that guy's not a Christian, there's something seriously wrong with you. And 90% of the black church voted for him only because of the color of his skin. Now, am I a racist? Hey, Mark Trump, that's data, isn't it, Mark? Aren't statistics just data?
Just data.
Just data. And Mark, statistics don't have color to them, do they? I mean, there's no color associated with data.
Data's not an opinion.
Unfortunately, 90% of reality is perception. And this nation has been trained into perceiving anything negative about anything black as racism.
Mm-hmm. They have, see? And so listen, it's everywhere we look. Some of you are still Fox News fans. I have not watched Fox News in a year and a half. I'm telling you, I have not turned it on in a year and a half. Because I told you this. There's something wrong when the news is fair and balanced. Because there's no such thing as fair and balanced truth. There is no such thing. Truth is not fair and balanced. All right?
Truth is truth. That's it.
So 90%. Statistics, data, Mark, 95% of black men and women voted for Hillary Clinton, the most pro-abortion, next Obama. She was in bed with Planned Parenthood, the slaughter of unborn children, and 95% of black Americans voted for her. And mm-hmm. James David Manning told us yesterday they're not even safe. I didn't say that. He said that. Why? Data. The data, right? See, they give us opinion polls all the time, don't they? Oh, only Trump's approval rate's at 42%. Oh, 48% of Americans want to see gay marriage legalized. Statistic after statistic after statistic. But when I, as a white man, use a statistic, data, in regards to black people, black Christians, I'm a racist. Because, see, they cannot argue with the data.
Right.
They can't argue with it.
That's right. This is just like whenever they went after the Russians.
they were looking for data to show Trump guilty. But the data came back and proved others guilty.
Yeah.
They're trying to change the data to create a new truth, a perception like Larry's talking about, not a truth, but a perception. They're shaping perception with data. So whenever you present data, you got to be sure not to mix it in a sentence with opinion. If you do that, if you do that, it creates controversy, which is good as long as that's what you're intending. If you want to present data to present a truth, you got to present multiple data points that trend into a truth that someone can't dispute. That way you're presenting the data in a non-biased way. That's the hardest part about data, is bringing together disparate data points into one trend that you're trying to say you can't dispute that.
Amen. Hey, Mark, how many pro-life people do you suppose work at Right Wing Watch? Wouldn't you like to see the data on that one? Right? Because the data tells us everything, right?
That would be people who stay in a position that's contradicting their biblical and moral beliefs. How many people could work for a paycheck? And you know what I think? They're like that Target lady. They don't know they're working for an immoral company until they're presented with the truth. Okay. From a pastor who they went and asked for, and he stood up and said, wait a minute, Target supports Planned Parenthood. You want me to pray for God to help Target kill more babies? Are you sure you want me to do that? That's not the God I serve.
So Mark, when I get to the end of statistics and I see data, listen, folks, I'm just going to give you data. One third of every black baby conceived in New York City last year, one third, was aborted. That's data. That's all that is. That's data.
Hey, Coach, that's false data, because there was a whole lot more killed by the RU-25 pill or the morning after pill that we have no idea how many multitudes are being killed.
There you go. You trend the data. Larry, add that in as a new data point. You add extra things in, and pretty soon you got a pretty compelling trend. What's people going to say about that? They're going to question the data source. They're going to try to disprove the data source.
No, they're going to call me a racist for pointing it out. See,
that's right.
That's the way the game is played, right? So right. when I say one third, when I say this, that blacks are about 13% of the population, about 13%. And they make up nearly 40% of the abortion. That's pretty good data. That's pretty good data. And then when I say that blacks make up 40% of the abortions around in America, 40% of the abortions in America are on black children. And then I say, President Obama was the most pro-abortion president in American history. It's not a leap to say that anybody who voted for President Obama was in support of killing black children. Mark, isn't that what the data tells us?
That's the logic. Absolutely. That's a conclusion you can draw. And then you look at more facts surrounding that conclusion and draw more data points. And everything points to that, Dave. You're exactly right.
So yesterday when I say that 95% of black people are voting for a man who wants to kill babies, they're not pro-life. They're not. Black lives don't even matter to them. They don't even matter to them. See, when we begin to reach a conclusion based on the data, that's when you run into trouble.
That's right.
Ultimately, Mark, ultimately, data leads to confusion or to conclusions. Data reaches conclusions. Where do you think global warming came from? Data. And so when you deny what happens in the data, they call you a climate denier, right? Because you're denying the data. Well, I say, okay, 30%, a third of all babies conceived in New York were murdered through abortion, and I use that data. They don't call me a science denier. They call me a racist.
Hey, Coach.
See how the game's played? See how it's played? Yeah, Dale. Yeah. Morning.
I just want to help you on that data in New York City. In New York City, the number's higher. There are more black babies surgically, not including all the RU46 stuff, surgically aborted than there are born in New York City. More murdered through abortion than there are born. So that's that number in New York City.
Now, I'm sorry. Sorry, Vinny. I didn't make Barack Obama black. I didn't do it. I didn't. Somehow he was a black man and he got elected president of the United States. When he got elected president of the United States, I merely point out through the data that his policies are killing black children. And now I'm racist for having done that. Okay. Now I'm going to say something else. I brought this up the other day and hey fellas, listen, you're going to have to tighten your belt and earn your meal money. You're going to have to be willing to take the pressure that comes with speaking the truth. Because the only way that we are going to tear down paradigms is to speak the truth. It's the only way. And some of us are going to have to be forerunners. Some of us are going to have to be pioneers. And some of us are going to have to catch the weeds in the face so that we can clear a path for others. Okay, we have to. Now I'm going to give Right Wing Watch another one. Okay, are you ready for this one, Right Wing Watch? Barack Obama is not a black man.
No,
he has a white mother. He has a white mother, as Vince pointed out yesterday, a Jewish mother. He has a Jewish mother. Now, it doesn't matter to me. I don't care. But the data that they're telling you is false. It's false data. He grew up in Hawaii, not Harlem. He had white grandparents. You understand this?
His first biography said he was from Africa.
This is data. This is data, folks. Not racism. It's data. And if we don't understand how to evaluate the data, then we're going to be confused. And we're going to watch Fox News and they're going to tell us they're fair and balanced, even though they don't cover any of the truth.
Right.
They selectively pick and choose what they're going to cover. So that weaves me a little bit. I'm not going to talk about this, the killing down in Florida. But that doesn't seem to fit the profile. Doesn't seem to fit the profile. So they're going to try to do everything they can to alter the data.
Right.
And how do you alter the data? Well, you just flush some of it down the toilet. You just don't present it all. Right. And so therefore, they're smart enough to know that the data has to line up with the narrative or it's not going to work. They're going to get caught at it. So what do they say? Don't look over here. Don't look over here. Don't look over here. Don't look over here. Look over here. Look over here. Look over here. And in my opinion, that's what's going on down in Florida. It'd be interesting to talk to Russ again about MK Ultras and all that kind of stuff. But I have a different slant on it today.
Wouldn't that be called social indoctrination, Coach?
Yeah, that's where I'm heading, buddy. That's where I'm heading. And you know we want to talk about. Just go get on Facebook this morning. I don't care. Get on any social media. Turn on your favorite talk radio host. And they're all going to be talking about the killings and what happened and this troubled young man. And I just hear it on and on and on and on and on. And nobody will go to the data and use the data. Fellas, they use data in every scientific work that goes on in the world, they use data. Every business operation is based on data. The stock market's based on data. And every time new data comes out, the stock market goes up and down. Because why? Because data matters. Data is a footprint. Data is evidence. Data explains exactly what it is that's going on. And the data would tell us, if we were to look at it, since 1961, when the Supreme Court of the United States booted God out of school, the data will show us a very strong negative trend in regards to morality in America. That's what the data would show. there would be a cause and effect on morality through Christianity removed from the schools and where we are today. Cause and effect. Data, Mark, hey, Mark, you're with me. Save me out there, Mr. Data Man. You would, that would be true, would it not, Mark?
Absolutely, Dave. And it's just a matter of not avoiding data, you know, and I think that's what a lot of folks do is they don't look at the data of what Obama did. They look at, they fabricate data sets to prove things. So that's where the data source needs to be accurate. That's where you use different forms of data.
Proper application of the data, right, Mark?
That's right. So, even honest application. Honest application.
You can't when you have an agenda. Chad, the police officer, just said there have been 51 school shootings so far this year. We don't know that. 51 school shootings, and the objective is not. Wouldn't somebody sit back and say, why are our kids killing each other? Why are they doing this? Let's look at some data of why our kids are killing each other. But instead, they focus on data, which says guns. Guns, the only data they look at. Well, as we all know, guns don't kill people. People kill people. We know that line, right? What is making the children pick up the gun? No data on that. And dare I say it? The church doesn't even offer a solution. The church doesn't.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
The other, another data, 7 out of 10 kids lose their faith after leaving high school.
Mm-hmm. Maybe even higher than that. That's data. Data. Hey, so what do you think, if, as Jeff just said, 70% of kids raised in a Christian home, in a Christian school environment, in a Christian family, 70% of them lose their faith when they go to college. If you were a data miner, Mark Trump, what would be the reaction if our pastors operated off true data? What conclusion would they come to, Mark?
Well, they'd have to embrace the Bible for, they'd have to accept the Bible for truth, for the true data set. Then they'd have to acknowledge the world around them. And part of what people do most is they stick their head in the ground. They avoid data. You present it, and when it's true truth, and they know it in their heart, they turn away. They ignore the data. It's easier to ignore data than to be a part of the solution.
So like the people who say public education is crappy, but we have a good school.
Right. They keep their head in the sand.
Yeah, Rog.
I'll tell you what the data would say. It would say the church body should be focused on the male, on the father.
Roger, you've been reading my notes? You've been reading my notes, Roger? Go ahead.
Every piece of data I've ever read doesn't say to expand the preschool and have a better swing set. It doesn't say to send more people over to Cambodia. It says, get the father, get the father. Every piece of data should support the biggest, strongest, most wonderful men's outreach, biblically based. And that's how you change things, because that's what the data says. You get the dad, you get very good chance of getting everybody else.
Yeah, but you guys, Roger, we have a society that takes a village as our database.
Well, the data does not support that. The data doesn't support it. There's the other thing on data. If we hadn't aborted 60 million kids, there wouldn't be a work shortage to where we feel or somebody thinks we need to import every Tom, Dick, and Harry from every country to fill jobs.
Tom, Dick, and Leroy.
Yeah, Roger. And when you stand up and you speak out against every Tom, Dick, and Harry coming to America because you want to pass your cultural heritage to your children, they call you a racist. Do you see how it works? You see how it works? It's insidious.
Hey, Coach, we can
And we can mention Ron Johnson, right, and his stupid idiocy, and talking yes. about the continued outsourcing.
Go ahead, Vince. Enlighten us.
So Ron Johnson, a senator, he says that we should continue outsourcing because we need those people here. Listen, right. We have Americans right. without jobs. I mean, it's idiocy. Outsourcing is like cutting off your nose to spite your face. Americans mm-hmm. need money. You need to hire Americans. You don't need to hire low wage, whatever. It's ridiculous.
Okay, let me take this to where I'm trying to go, where I want to go today. They have they've emasculated God. We've turned God into a woman. Now that's been the idea of the feminist movement. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to emasculate God. Have you noticed how manly a lot of the feminists are acting? Have you noticed that? But see, it's even worse than that. Those of you who still go to church, those of you who still love the Lord, whatever that means, those of you who still love your families and your country and your communities, those of you who still love those, I'm going to tell you something. Your church is teaching you to be silent, weak, ineffective. You've lost your homes. You've lost your children. You've lost your schools. You've lost your church. There is not, I'm just telling you, the NFL is becoming sissified. The NFL wears pink shoes during breast cancer awareness month. How about wearing black shoes for testicular cancer? Or lung cancer, or something. See, so here's what they've done to us. Those of us who have unshakable faith, and they can't get us to deny God, they simply make him a woman. Our churches make him a woman. And our pastors stand in the pulpit. Hey, fellas, there's not one in a million pastors that would say what I said on this show yesterday. Because they couldn't take the heat. And the controversy Amen. That it would bring.
Amen.
Right? None will do that. They're not going to do that. Why? Because they have become sissified men. They've become womanly men. Am I doing okay here? See, women.
Hey, Coach, I'm glad to be the one in the million, bro.
Okay, good. I know there's some out there. See, you think of our public schools. You think of our public schools from the time you put your child in public school, in kindergarten, whenever you do that, kindergarten, first grade, let's take him all through elementary school. What do you suppose the odds are he's going to see a real man? Your son, I'm talking about. What do you suppose, how old will your son be in public school before he looks up and sees a strong man as the head influence in that building? It'd be at least 6 years. He may have some male teacher at some point along the line, but I can tell you this, that male teacher in elementary school has been conditioned to treat him like women, because women always want to get along and talk it out and don't be angry and blah, 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 blah. And what we see is the effeminization of men, and the effeminization of men has crept into our churches and it's crept into our homes. And that's why young guys no longer see their faith as something to fight and die for, because their faith has become compromised. I'm okay. You're okay. God forgives everybody. Oh, you're gay. Come on in. Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And one of the things that is the thing I've seen this happen in my own coaching career with young coaches. What a young man wants more than anything is responsibility. He wants to be able to say, "This, I coach this group. I am in charge of this. This is what my guys have done." That's deep in the heart of every man. It's in the DNA. And there ain't no place that you're going to go that you're going to permit you as a man to say and do that. Very few. Chad, you probably, Chad's probably not on there. He's got, I understand his schedule. Can't even do that as a cop. The police chief in Columbus, Ohio, is a woman. Lesbian. Now, see, the church thinks that's good. Church thinks that's good. That's progressive. That's progressive. It goes against this patriarch, I can't even say it. The man-led family. If the truth were to be told, those of you watching this show, when it really gets down to it, including me, how much did you really have to do with raising your son? Or did you farm him off to somebody? Farm him off to school, let the teachers do it, farm him off to sports, let the coach teach him, farm him off, and then you wake up and your son's 19 years old and he doesn't have any of your values. And you can't understand why. Your son goes to church with you. I love to tell this story. Love this true story. True story. Back in the Promise Keepers days, Promise Keepers, one of my good buddies took his son. He wouldn't even mind if I told you who it was. We went to Promise Keepers, and he confided in me. He says, no, it was in the weight room. He told me we were in the weight room. He says, coach, I need some help with my son. I said, what is it, coach? Great friend of mine. Great friend. He says, I can't get him to go to church. I said, what? Yeah, I can't get him to go to church. Every Sunday morning, it's such a fight with his mom. Try to get him up and go, and he won't go. And I said, hey, coach, can I give you a good suggestion? Why don't you go and take him? Because whatever you like, your boy's going to like. If you like sports, your son's going to like sports. You like fishing, your son's going to like fishing. You like driving hot cars? Your son's going to want to drive hot cars. You like working on building things? Your son's going to want to build things. Because deep inside the heart of your son is the desire to be like his dad. Just like deep inside the heart of every man should be the desire to be like his dad, like our heavenly father. But we don't even know what he looks like anymore.
Hey, coach.
We don't even know the natures of God anymore. So you take the average Christian man, goes and sits in church, and he wants to be like his heavenly father. He doesn't even know what that means. First of all, the Old Testament's off limits. You can't even read about that main God anymore. You're not even allowed to talk about him. God's now become a woman. And so you get young guys, you get young 17-year-old kids, 18-year-old kids down in Florida who think it's mainly to go out and grab a gun and kill people because that's the masculinity he's been exposed to. He don't know any better. Hey, you serve the God you see. He's just serving the God he sees. That's all it is. And the average man sitting in the church, you're going to serve the God you see. And I hate to tell you this, you see a feminine, passive, why can't we all get along, Jesus? Somebody say amen, so I know I'm talking to the right group. Come on, somebody give me a thumbs up.
Amen, brother. It's the problem. I live that.
The kids don't have any male role models. Not male. You're born a male. Amen. I'm talking about men, manly men. The kids don't have any manly role models.
Coach, today, in hindsight over what I've learned in the last decades and what you've covered just in the short time you've had this program, today the father that doesn't try to ship his son off to church is doing his son a favor, providing the father's giving the spiritual leadership he's supposed to. Yeah.
But see, good point, Larry, but our fathers aren't given the spiritual leadership they should. They're not. And why are they not? Because they have not been trained in the church how to do it. They haven't been how to do it. And I know this. You guys watching me, this ain't an act. This is who I am. This isn't an act. And you either love it or you hate it. You either love it or hate it. But I'm going to tell you this. There are a lot of you, when this show's over, your heart's beating fast as yes! Right? And you're not finding it any place else. And you're certainly not finding it in your church. And so your son walks into the church and he looks at what's going on and he sees the phoniness of it. When he gets 18 years old and goes to college, he's got sex, drugs, babes, rock and roll. Jesus will forgive me. Jesus, they taught me that in church.
Great.
Jesus loves me. Jesus will forgive me. Yeah. Oh, you got your girl pregnant. Great, now you're going to go kill. You're going to go kill the baby? Yeah, but Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And isn't it amazing? I say this all the time when we go to the abortion clinics. the men, the freaking passive men that take their baby in to be slaughtered. We talk to him and say, man, defend your baby. Your baby's counting on you. Stand up and defend your baby. And what do they say? That's her choice.
Hey, Coach.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Have Jared click on that link. This is what they have for leadership in the homes. This is the men they have leading their families.
Which one do I have to click on here, Jared? It's come down to you. Let's see. Oh, there it is. Yes. Yeah. I saw that, Mark. Transgender pastors welcomed into church with a new name. So this lady went from being, well, first of all, it's another lady. Look at this. Look at this. Huh? No wonder they want to say God's a woman. No wonder. Because the last thing they want, boys, I don't know if you figured this out. When they come to chain me up, it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a fight.
Where do we find the male role models when this is who's leading churches?
Yeah. Right. Or Mark. Men who act like women. Men who act like women. It don't make any difference.
Well, that's more like that's more like a wolf in sheep's clothing, isn't it?
It is.
At least you can see a wolf.
For those of you who don't know, this pastor wants her name changed. She's a woman, transgendered woman, and she wants her name changed. And so this is an ordination process. You can't make this up. Where they're now changing her name to Paul, I believe. Isn't that what it says? Doesn't her name become Paul? Easy.
Hey, Coach.
Uh huh.
It's like you were talking about the women cops. That we just quick story there. About the time we went to the UCC church because they were doing the gay Halloween. Remember how there for a while we were going to the police station, telling them what we're going to do so they know who's out there. Right. I went in there and we got a lesbian cop in the city of Mount Vernon and a gay dispatcher. So I had to go to the counter and talk to this gay guy and tell him we're going to the UCC church, which he probably attends. He got the police chief on the phone, and the police chief told us that afternoon at 4 o'clock that if we go, we will be arrested. If they call the cop, we will be arrested if we didn't cease and desist. I called Pastor Bill from the front steps of the police station. He said, well, let's go challenge the laws. But they were doing gay Halloweens in this town, inviting little kids in there.
I know, Jeff. I know. It's because masculinity is dead. They're trying to emasculate God, emasculate men, emasculate the church, call the church a she, say she's a bride, not the body of Christ. The body of Christ, well, the body of Christ is a man. It ain't a woman. Now, hang on. Do you understand how many people's hair standing on the back of the neck right now? Thinking, this guy is sexist. Boys, God was sexist. God was.
Amen.
Male and female made him thee. So it says right in Genesis, male and female. A man shall leave his mother and a woman leave her home. God is sexist. You understand that? And we have taken all of this stuff and we've thrown it all out. And I don't care where you go. I went to my granddaughter's soccer league last fall. Go to softball. Go wherever you want. I don't care wherever you go. Hey, fellas, the coaches are women. Now, my daughters were college athletes. Maggie played center field at Marietta College 4 years. Abby played third base at Hillsdale College 4 years. My daughters understand athletics. You understand? They understand athletics. And sports doesn't have a gender. You don't have to be a lesbian to play softball. But my daughter, Abby, if I could get Abby on here, I would tell you this. She thrived under male coaches. She didn't thrive under female coaches. Why? Because a female coach to her turned into a cat fight. Maybe it was Abby's own personality. I don't know what it was. She always pushed back against female coaches. I don't know. She had a male coach. didn't fight back against the male. She's a strong woman, married a strong man. He's the head of the house. They have a good relationship. That's the way that it's supposed to work. But now we have metrosexual men leading families. And the problems that we see in America is, you know, men. Hey, there are any Christian men. Not really, really leading their home. How many of you guys watching right now, I'm pointing a finger at me. How many of you guys right now, when your kids were in their formative years, how many of you regularly led a Bible study and prayer, family prayer, nightly in your home?
I did. I do.
Dale's, he's one of those million guys. But we were not even trained to do that. We're trained to go to the pastor and let him do all the spiritual training of our children. And it's like, my buddy, well, your faith's not important to your son because your faith wasn't important to you. Hey, we got to do something. We can't just continue to sit around and point it out. If you were to read my commentary today, which I didn't put it up for you. Do you know it's fascinating. 300,000 churches in America. 300,000 churches in America. 70% of Americans, 70, consider themselves Christian. I wonder how many of that other 30% were raised in Christian homes and don't consider them Christians anymore. I would say it's probably as high as 85% were some type of Christian upbringing. That would be my guess. And we've watched them continue to whittle away and whittle away and whittle away and whittle away at Christianity and its influence and God and his influence and manhood and its influence. And we're shocked when some kid down in Florida thinks manhood is getting a gun and killing people. We're shocked by it. It's the church's fault. The family's fault. Not the school's fault. Schools are secular, humanistic. When you put your kid in school, you get exactly you're getting exactly what you paid for. Somebody dive in here. We've got 8 minutes left. I had a bunch of videos to show this morning.
Coach, I just wanted to say something. It's, you know what? It's also for the men and for the people who are settling. I just had this conversation the other day with somebody that if I had a wife and children, they wouldn't be sitting in the chair at the building that I went to, that I've been attending, because of what's being taught. And so at the same time, people are settling for it because it's there and it's convenient.
Amen. Well, how about this one, David? How many of you people watching? I got a video. Don't have time to show it. How many of you parents, dads, are trusting the raising of your children to the youth group? Youth leader. Who, by the way, probably is figuring out which young girl he can hit on. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I just know what I'm talking about. Jesus will forgive. Jesus will forgive him, right? No, it ain't biblical. It's not biblical for the children to teach each other. What is that? That's what goes on in public schools, by the way. And so what does the church do? Why, we copy it. We get to say youth leader. Hey, Dad, you're the youth leader. It's not some
That's
guy
right.
with,
hey, Coach.
With an earring and sissy jeans on. He ain't the youth leader. You're the youth leader.
Hey,
and
Coach.
If the youth are bad, Dad, better look in the mirror. Yeah, go. Hey, somebody
Coach.
Jump in.
No, Coach, yeah, my master's degree from a Bible college was two programs, one in theology and one in Christian education. And you are hitting the nail on the head. Our, quote, Bible and Christian colleges are teaching their Bible and church and supposedly Christian educators to do exactly what you have been saying.
So I went to teach at a Christian school. Thanks, Larry. I went to teach at a Christian school, high school, coach football. Fairfield Christian Academy, I'll say it. Fairfield Christian Academy. People put their precious children in Fairfield Christian Academy, and it was at least 85% women. At least. It's everywhere. Yeah, Dale.
Well, I challenge the men in here, you know, whether what of the age, the biblical role model is that Paul took Timothy underneath his wing and reared him up. So don't think that, I mean, you know me, you know, that my kids followed me wherever, and you're absolutely right. They, you know, I love music, so guess what? Every single one of them follows in music. I love hunting. They all love hunting. But these men in this in this cube, it doesn't matter how old you are, you grab a hold of one of these younger kids whose father's not there, out of the picture, and you begin to role model those children, because it's the same thing. I don't believe in separation of generation. It says the older men teach the younger men. And so you guys have that. What you have in this cube and what Coach pours down into you, you need to take this next generation that you see out there, these kids that you think that are thugs, they're looking for somebody to take them underneath their wing. And so don't write them off. You grab a hold of one and become a Paul and begin to pour into their life.
Amen, Dale.
Amen.
Dale.
Amen.
Looking for
Paul. Hey, Jared, you stuck something up here. Real quickly, Jared, I'm sorry. Go to Psalm 78. I want to show something. Not that this isn't important, but I'm running out of time. Jeff?
Real quick story there. Remember 15 years ago, I was coming to meet Coach Dave Dobmeyer, Pastor Bill Dunphy, Flip Benham, and Pastor Rusty Thomas. And a pastor took me into his office and said, "Don't go around them guys. These guys are dangerous."
Amen. We are. We're dangerous to the stinking devil, I can tell you that. We're dangerous to lies. Psalm 78,
Amen,
verse
Coach.
5. Psalm 78, verse 5. For he established a testimony in Jacob. Did I tell you this? Hang on, let me stop. It just came to me. If Michelle was down here, she could verify. Hey, Michelle, call me real quick. Give her a second. See if she's close to, she's got two grandbabies up there. She probably doesn't have time to do it. Probably won't have time to die out. But I've already decided. Michelle knows what's going on in my tombstone. I'm not going to give you, don't worry about it, honey. You know what I told her to put on my tombstone? Here lies a dangerous man.
Excellent.
For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they, who? The fathers, should make them known to their children. And that generation to come might know them, might know what? What he commanded the father, law in Israel. Even the children which should be born, who then would arise and declare it to their children. That's tag team handoff. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. However, it might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. You say hippies, generation didn't set their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. No. And the children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows, they turn back in the day of battle. Boys, we are in the day of battle. And if godly men do not stand up and begin to go to school board meetings and to church, city councils and to church councils and begin to raise hell, R-A-I-Z-E, raise like you burn something down, R-A-Z-E, burn, raise hell, destroy hell. If men of God don't stand up and begin to go and become a confrontation to these ungodly institutions that are supposed to be under the guidance and ordained by God, if godly men do not take back their rightful position, there is zero hope for where we are. And you know what it's going to take? It's going to take some hair on your chest. It's going to take a stiff spine, and it's going to take a face of flint. We're fighting for the future, man. The future, I hate to tell you this, even though they tell you the one who rocks the cradle rocks the world, or whatever that line is. No, but boys, understand this. Everything rises and falls on fatherhood. And despite what your sissy pastor would tell you, testosterone's a good thing. God bless you, man. We'll see you tomorrow.